for the relationships that are represented just even within this room, that are built all on a connection to you, that are built on the love you have shown us that we can now show to others. Lord, would we just sit under your word? Would we be open to whatever you have to tell us? Lord, you know you've pulled certain things out of this passage, but your spirit can do whatever needs to be done this morning. In your son's name I pray, amen. We'll be starting down in verse 9. Paul writes, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Let each one take care how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So Paul describes how these leaders, these teachers, are fellow workers with God, are working with God and with one another to accomplish something. And we catch him kind of moving between analogies. He's been talking about a field. You are God's field, but also you are at times the workers within that field. And then he transitions to the analogy of a building. He says, "By the grace of God, I'm like a skilled master builder, and I've laid a foundation." What does he mean? Well, he goes on to tell us, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If you are trying to build a life that is truly life, if you're trying to build a life that is life-giving, if you're trying to build a life of flourishing, that life can only be built on one particular foundation. That kind of life has to be built on the person and the teachings of Jesus. You say, why? That seems kind of narrow. Well, it's because Jesus is the clearest picture we will ever get in this life of the character of our good God, of the God who is the source of all life. And this is not something new that Paul is writing. Jesus taught this about himself. Remember what he said in Matthew chapter 7, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Jesus says, "I'm the rock. I'm the foundation. If you want to build something that lasts, if you want to build something that's going to stand, it has to be built on who I am." Now, when you're building a house, you take your surroundings into consideration. For a number of years when I was younger, I lived in Florida. And when I think of Florida, there's a lot of things that might come to people's mind as being typically Floridian. Maybe going out to the beach, which was awesome. Maybe the wildlife, or maybe fishing, or whatever you think of as typically Floridian. The thing that comes to my mind is a little bit different. And it's hurricanes. Has anyone here been through a hurricane before? Okay, we got a few. When I think back, there were several that we got to live through, we got to enjoy during my time down there. And hurricanes have such a different feel for someone who grew up in the Midwest, when we're used to tornadoes, right? By the time a tornado shows up, by the time you know about it, it's destroyed everything and it's gone already. Hurricanes are different as you know about it days and weeks ahead of time. And there's this long time where everyone's trying to prepare, and the The storm shutters are going on the windows and sandbags are popping up everywhere. And this is the first time I saw houses that were on stilts to try and combat the flooding. And then there's just that ominous waiting as it gets closer and closer. But my point is, you build a house with your surroundings in mind. What are the surroundings Jesus describes here? Rain, floods, winds. What does Jesus expect your life to be like? Actually, it sounds pretty similar to a hurricane. Rain, floods, winds. There are all sorts of outside elements that are going to beat against the life you try and build. Please tell me other people feel this. The almost constant attrition, the wearing down of everything you're trying to build up. And Jesus seems to take it for a given that you'll face these kind of storms. But remember what he said in the Gospel of John in chapter 16. I've said these things to you that you may have peace. Well, Jesus, you just told me about a bunch of storms. I'm not sure how much peace I have right now. But in this world, you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. This is what we will experience. And our only hope is to have a solid foundation. Our only hope is being grounded in the person of Jesus, in who he is, and in his teachings. And Paul writes, no other foundation can be laid. This is the only option if you want the house that you're building, the life that you're building, to stand, to last, to not collapse under the hardships you will experience. And Paul says, by the grace of God, I was able to come alongside and help lay that foundation of your faith. I was able to be a witness of who Jesus is to you. Now, based on what Jesus said, based on what Paul said, our foundation's important. Of course. In fact, we probably could have come to that conclusion without ever reaching the passage. However, and I want us to keep this in mind because I think it matters, when you're building up a house, a foundation is the first step. A crucial step, an indispensable step, a critical step, but also the first step. Look what Paul says in verse 10, but each one should build with care. I want you to imagine for a moment you have a family member or a friend who says, hey, I'm building a new place to live. I'd love for you to come out and see it. You come out and here's where they've cleared the land and there's a foundation that's been poured and it's there and you look and you go, man, that looks great. What's the rest of the house going to look like? Imagine they look at you and they say, no, this is it. This is all I need. This is where I live now. You would be understandably confused. And yet I fear this is sometimes how we, as believers, approach our lives in Jesus. We begin with a solid foundation, with the only foundation worth the name, but we forget that foundations are meant to be built upon. We're meant to strive for something more. Like Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, and God gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God gave each of us gifts, each of us talents, but they all revolve around a singular purpose, and that is that we may serve the body in such a way that it is built up. Built up in unity. Built up in knowledge. With each member becoming more mature until we attain what Paul describes as the fullness of the stature of Christ. The Spirit is working in and through each one of us, individually and collectively, so that we may be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Paul says almost the same thing in Colossians 1. Him we proclaim, Jesus we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all the energy that he powerfully works within me. All the energy Paul has goes towards one purpose, to present everyone fully mature in Christ. And even as he says that, he says, yes, but I also know that it's his energy that he's working powerfully in me. Even as this is something I strain for, as it's something I pour all my effort into, the goal is maturity in Christ, not just for himself, but for everyone. Everyone around him. And I wonder sometimes, especially if we're in church long enough, if we don't see people coming to faith in Jesus and begin to think of that as the end. And don't get me wrong, you know, in one sense it is the goal, right? People coming to know Jesus, surrendering their lives to him, that's vital. That's amazing. That's incredible. But can we see that moment for what it is, a beginning and not an ending? How many people here have run a marathon? I should not have my hand up. Okay, how many people have run a half marathon? Okay, all right, fair enough. Imagine the day of the race comes and you get up and you put on your running clothes and your running shoes and you get your water and snacks and whatever. I've not done this, so I could be totally wrong on what you do, but we'll run with it. Imagine you get there and you check in and you get your number and you put it on and you get to the starting line. And the race starts and you take a step across that starting line and maybe another couple of steps. And then you go home. That's probably what I would do. In one sense, it's great that you've crossed the starting line. And in fact, you could probably tell people, I've run in a marathon, and they would probably be impressed. But you will have missed almost the entire experience. I don't want us to miss out on the fullness of a life lived with Jesus. I want us to have the same passion Paul had when he said this in Philippians chapter 3. This is my goal, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. You know you're on board when you're like, I just want to know him, even if it means suffering and death. If that's what it takes to bring me closer to knowing who he is, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ has made me his own. I love that section of the passage, right? Everything I'm doing, the straining, the effort, the whatever, the pressing on to make it my own is only because Christ has first made me his own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul wasn't going to step across the starting line and go home. He says, by the grace of God, I was like a master builder. I've helped lay the foundation. But now we must take care how the foundation is built up, because foundations are meant to be built upon. And he goes on to elaborate. Look down in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 3. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has done on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. Though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. The foundation remains the same. But what we use to build on that foundation varies tremendously. And here's the key part. Not all of it's going to last. You see, I can come to know Jesus and still waste a lot of my life. I've had seasons of that. I can come to know Jesus and chase after things that are fleeting at best, or more likely that are harmful to myself and to those around me. How often did Paul write to believers who had gotten off track, who had lost their way, or who at times had simply failed to progress in their faith? To the point where at times he has to tell them, look, by now you should be teachers. You should be guides. You should be helping those around you. And yet I still have to talk to you like the very youngest of children. But there's another side to that coin. Because here's the beautiful thing. I can also come to know Jesus, and by the power of the Spirit, I can lean into the transformation that God is working to accomplish within me. Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God working within you. And remember, none of this has to do with the foundation, right? No one can lay a foundation other than that which is already laid. It is only through what Jesus has done in accomplishing our reconciliation with God, it is only by that that we can enter God's presence. This has nothing to do with the foundation in that sense. None of this is about making us right with God. But I can still enthusiastically partner with God in the transformation He is working within me. Or I can drag my feet and waste time. That's my call. And Paul reminds us, time is not an infinite supply. You and I only have so much time. And there's times in our life where we become more aware of that than others. There's coming a day, the day of the Lord, a day that will bring things to light, a day that is all about things being revealed and tested. And Paul talks about fire, the kind of fire that was used to test the purity of precious metals, that was meant to remove impurities. And the whole point of the day is that things are seen clearly for what they really are. Everything is brought to light. Everything is tested. And so we build lives on the foundation of what Jesus has done for us. And that foundation is solid. That foundation is secure. But there are days when what I build on that foundation is not quite so solid. And Paul says there's a reward and a loss in this testing. Some part of the lives we build are the kinds of things that will last into eternity. And some parts of the lives we build will burn away. will vanish with all the other things that are passing away as God reclaims every part of His creation. Paul says there's a reward for what lasts and a loss for what does not. And even then he reassures his readers, right? This has nothing to do with the foundation. This is not a matter of what Jesus has done for us. Our connection with God remains secure. Right? Even with loss, the person will be saved. But there's still a loss in that. What exactly does he mean by rewards and losses? Heck if I know. But I have a guess. I think there's an aspect of it that I can guess at. Just think about it. Maybe just with your eyes closed for a minute, imagine it's the day. A day of revealing, a day of things being brought to light. And on that day, imagine that I hold in my hand parts of my life. The selfish ambitions I had, the grudges I kept, the time I wasted, the ego that I padded, the time I spent clinging to pain that was inflicted on me or inflicting pain on others. The time I spent tearing myself down or tearing others down. The time I spent blaming God for my life not being what I wanted it to be. And as those things are brought to light, they crumble into dust. And there's part of that that's a relief. But also they'll show themselves for the nothingness that they always were. But also on that day, when everything is revealed, there are parts of my life I'll hold in my hands. The relationships that were developed. The people that were encouraged and built up. The love of God that I allowed to flow through me to others. The humility and endurance that were born out of trials and hardships and tribulation. The time that I used to draw closer to my Lord. The time that I spent sitting at His feet learning what it truly meant to be human. And as those things are brought to light, they'll shine and shimmer and sparkle. And they'll step into eternity with me. Amen. Where your treasure is, where the things you invest in are, where your heart is. We can, in some small way, live in eternity here and now. Invest in eternity here and now. And what more reward would I want than to become the kind of creation God always intended me to be? To become the kind of creature that can fully embrace in eternity, fully step into the love of God. Three quick questions, and then we'll end it here. First question: does our life have a solid foundation? Are you tired of trying to build a life on sand in the middle of a hurricane? There's only one foundation that is solid, that is secure. Jesus said, "Come to me, all those who are tired, all those who are weighed down. I'll give you rest." Do you have that kind of foundation? If not, you're in a community that would love to come alongside and be that witness of Jesus and describe what He's done in their lives. Who, like Paul, would love to come alongside you and help lay that foundation. Second question, if you do have that foundation, what are you building on it? Are you building with gold, silver, precious stones? Are you building with the kinds of things that last into eternity? Or are you building with wood, hay, straw? If you're anything like me, it's probably both. But there will be a fire of testing for each of us. And I don't know what about you, but I want my life here and now to have meant something. I want to do what I can here and now to be ready to step into eternity like I was born for it. Because I was. And that can get overwhelming, right? Like me standing in my new house, and there's drywall to be done, and plumbing to be done, and electrical to be done, and I have YouTube. You're surrounded by people who would love to help you build up those things. And this isn't just an elaborate ploy for me to get help with my house. Don't get overwhelmed. Yes, there's a lot that God will change, but He will guide you through it step by step. Just focus on one thing at a time. Where is the Spirit leading you today? If you get overwhelmed, you'll just stop. And my wife will replay this sermon every time I get overwhelmed and stop working on the house. Third question, like Paul, are you helping lay the foundation for others? Are you helping those around you build on the foundation they already have? This isn't just a me and God thing. Never was. Our goal is to present everyone mature in Christ. What can I do in my own life or in the lives of those around me to further the goal, to push in that direction? Everyone mature in Christ, from the smallest interactions to the closest relationships I have. Foundations are meant to be built upon. And I want to end with this thought that Paul moves to. Verse 16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And that's an incredibly sobering thought, but also an encouraging one. Every step of the way, Paul's going, it's God's energy that He's working powerfully through me. It's the Spirit that's transforming me. It makes me think of the first temple and how two generations worked on that. One to gather all the materials and one to build it. And all the sacrifice and the talent and the time and everything that was poured into that one goal to build that temple. May we build lives taking the same care, as if we were building the very temple of God. Because that's exactly what we're doing. Lord, my prayer at the end of all this is may we not be discouraged. It is You that is at work within us. May we do what we could. Whether we walk that marathon or run that marathon, may we not judge ourselves by those around us, but may we simply embrace what You are doing in each of our lives, in the transformation You are working, knowing that the end result is an eternity with You. In Your Son's name I pray. Amen.